because I pride myself so much on the relationships that I have with my client, I will never fully be out of the client work.
Hey everyone, I'm Emily Reagan, and you've discovered Unicorns Unite. This is a podcast for freelancers, service providers, virtual assistants, and curious listeners who would like to experience the freedom and flexibility of working virtually. We're the magic makers, movers and shakers, and the real people doing the work behind the scenes of online businesses. Welcome to Unicorns Unite.
Hey, this episode is sponsored by my very own Digital Marketers Workgroup. Yeah, I can sponsor myself. Get your applications in our exclusive membership that gives you training, support, and the job opportunities you need to build experience and command premium rates as a service provider is opening soon. The end of March, beginning of April, the Digital Marketers Workgroup will open to new members. Now, here's the thing. You need to be solid in your services. You need to have a pricing guide, a website, a portfolio, something that sells your services, and you need to be confident that you could get the client, because this is not a course. This is a community. Every month we have advanced trainings. We help each other with feedback, support. We help you with troubleshooting, but we're really there to encourage and refer each other. The link to apply is in the show notes. We only open a few times a year. Right now, the cost is $47 a month, well worth 1 hour of client work a month. You can do this. I'll see you inside. Hey, hey, hey. I am so excited to bring you one of our very own Digital Marketers Workgroup members here on the podcast today, Heidi Schmidt. This is not her first podcast, but it is her first time on Unicorns Unite. I do love to highlight other freelancers, how they're doing business, what kind of services they're offering, what lessons they've learned, and in Heidi's case, sharing how she has scaled to six figures as an agency. She's one of our most recent work group members to share a big win. And I said, girl, you need to come on the show and tell everyone what you're doing and what you've learned. The cool thing about Heidi is she has previous marketing experience. She's very passionate. She's very good and exceptional with her social media strategies. But she's going to tell you her story, how she really nailed down what she offers, the clarity she gained working with her dream clients, and how all of this started in the height of the pandemic. You're going to learn so much today, and I am so grateful for Heidi sharing her story, pulling back the curtain, talking about how her team operates, sharing the numbers, because I feel like in this online space, it's so easy to make it seem like we're hitting those 20K months, and you should learn from me. And I'm a VA who now I only make money because I sell digital products. Okay, I'm not calling myself out. I'm actually a practitioner. I'm still doing the client work. I still have my main Pinterest client. I'm still doing ads for clients. I'm still doing podcast pitching. I have my services, but I think it's interesting to know that you do not have to be the freelancer VA coach to actually make decent money as a service provider. We do need to shed the title VA. We need to niche down. Heidi's going to talk about that. And you don't actually need to show up on social. She's going to talk about that too. So this episode is really good. Let me read her bio really quick. Heidi is a social media consultant who works with mostly small, mid-sized, woman-owned service providers and coaches offering social media strategies and done-for-you social media management. She's going to hit on it real hard today about attracting the type of clients who want to pay your price and who value what you do. We're going to talk about how she got started, her biggest challenges, how she made the jump from corporate to freelancer. And you're going to learn so much. And it's going to be so inspiring, because if Heidi did it, you can do it too. Now, keep in mind, this is the span of 4 years. This does not start overnight. Not at all. I never want to give you that kind of false, get rich quick misconception. She did a lot of work. So at the end, on the outro, I'll talk about some things that really stuck out with me. You can connect with Heidi over on Instagram. She's going to mention her content planning guide. Go grab that in the link. Please shout her out on Instagram, especially all of our follower work group members. But before we jump in, if you offer marketing services, if you do social media, if you do automation, tech, email, if you build landing pages, website design, if you do video editing, graphic design, if you know about marketing funnels, if you do community management, we would love to have you inside our Digital Marketers Workgroup. The doors are opening very soon for another open enrollment period. Right now it's only $47 a month, and you get access to advanced training, a peer referral network that Heidi's going to talk about today, and jobs. Clients are being handed over on a silver platter, the ones who need marketing help. And so this is a way for you not to feel like you have to post on social media and do all of this client prospecting. The application to apply is below. Get it in now. Don't wait. And then we'll let you know. We'll reach out when the doors are open. This is a small, tight-knit community. You do need to be confident in your services. Your business does need to be set up. You need to know what you're doing because I'm trusting you with client leads. We have two amazing guest experts coming in April inside the workgroup. I want you to be a part of it. This is going to help you with your brand positioning and selling. We're going to cover the top of fold of your website. We're going to talk about your brand position and help you write that Work With Me services page that could be so much better. So those are the two trainings you'll get instant access to next time you join the work group. And for those of you catching this later, you'll just have to watch it later. It'll be available in the library. So get your applications in. If you have any questions about the work group, please DM me on Instagram at EmilyReaganPR. I would love to talk about it, see if this is the right next step for you. All right, let's jump into our conversation with the fabulous Heidi Schmidt.
Hey, Heidi, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here as one of our work group members. Tell everyone hello, a little bit about you, where you live, what your life looks like, all the good stuff.
Thanks for having me. I live in Maryland. I have been in marketing for a really, really long time. You know, I worked for multiple inbound marketing agencies back in the early 2010s. Eventually, I moved in-house, got experience up to a marketing director. And in 2020, when the world shut down, so did my job. So I started freelancing. It started just with a LinkedIn post to my network. And now I have a team of 5 marketing assistants, content creators that I work with that support me with my client content. Everyone asks me, how much do you make? I just hit 6 figures like last year, which was really, really an exciting milestone. Like everyone, when you start freelancing, like everyone thinks like, I want to hit $10,000 months. And that was like last summer for me. So yeah, I have my son. He's at school right now, thank God. I have an elder cat and I share an office with my husband and I sit here and create content and, you know, talk with clients all day.
What's your agency called?
So my agency is called Heidi Schmidt Creative. I kind of wish I had done something more creative, you know, like you see like other agencies that have kind of more creative names that aren't just tied to their names, but I wasn't super creative when I came up with it. So I was just like, I just want to go. I don't want to spend time on a name. And also it was just me. So it made sense to, you know, brand it as myself. Eventually, maybe I'll change the name. But for now, it's Heidi Schmidt Creative.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's good advice for anyone starting out. Even if you know you want to do an agency or not, just like it's you. It's you in the beginning. Make it about you. It's you who they're hiring and you can always change it later. Do you have an LLC or
a school? I do. I started my LLC in April of 2020. So this year will be 4 years. It was kind of rough. It wasn't until about 6 months in that I had more than one client, but I was also kind of being cautious because I was still on unemployment. And so when my unemployment ran out, I was like, all right, let's go. Let's
do this. Like then you're motivated to like get out there and really make the dough, right?
Yeah. Sure. So all the pandemic support. Everyone's like, how much do you need to invest in a business? How much do you need to start freelancing? You know, I read all these blogs and I keep thinking like, I need to unsubscribe from these because I'm not an entry level freelancer anymore. Like, why am I still getting these emails? But it's like, how much does it really cost to start freelancing? And really like the cost is kind of minimal. Like it cost me $300 to set up my LLC, pay like $200 for a website for the year. And then the rest was free. Like I invested very, very minimal to start, you know, I pay for Canva. Obviously, you need a tool like I use Loomly to manage my client content, but I started with Buffer because it was cheaper. So yeah, it was probably like less than $1,000 to start my business.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And you don't even have to LLC right away. You can do business as yourself, as a sole proprietor. So, okay, big question. What came first, chicken or the egg, the LLC or the LinkedIn post?
The LLC came first.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because I noodled for like a solid month or two. It was like May that I finally like really started to put myself out there. Like, okay, I'm really doing this. Because I thought like, well, maybe I can do like digital products. You know, you see all these people who are like, oh, make 6 figures in a month with digital products. But I was like, I have ADHD, and so I get all these big ideas, and then I just, like, don't.
That requires you to grow, like, a huge audience and be the face of your audience, and it's like
very overwhelming. And so eventually I was just like, all right, I'm doing this. We're just going to post, hey, I'm open for clients. I think my first client was actually, like, a contract that came through end of May, and it was a contract job. It was this company that was trying to do an app, and they had, like, HubSpot, and they really liked my HubSpot experience because that was a lot of the experience that I had on the agency side. They wanted me to, like, do some content, some landing pages. It was not my favorite client. I'm not going to badmouth anyone, but they were not my favorite client. They were very toxic, and it was a short contract. They only hired me for X number of hours, and so after that, I was like, I'm done. But shortly after I got that contract was when I got my first, like, recurring retainer client, which I'm still working with to this day, although they've gone through many iterations, and it's always interesting to deal with rebrands and acquisitions. And
Oh my goodness. So tell me, where did you get this idea to start freelancing for yourself? Were you seeing other people from the agency doing it? Like, what embedded that little seed, that idea in your head?
So when the world shut down in 2020, my son was in first grade, and my son has some learning challenges, severe ADHD. I was like, I can't go back to an office. Who knows when I'll be able to go back to an office? So I was like, well, I got to make some money somehow. I had always wanted to work for myself. I was tired of working for companies who are just like 10 days of PTO and just garbage benefits. And I was just tired. I was tired of feeling like I don't have any freedom over my life. Like, I'm beholden to someone else. Like, I want to see if I can do this. And, you know, I tried freelancing back in, like, 2008 before I got married. Like, actually, no, like 2009. I had done nonprofit communications, and then, you know, the Great Recession hit and nonprofits were hit really hard. So they were like, hey, we're eliminating your spot. But I tried freelancing, but I was only like 3 years out of college. So I didn't have that level of confidence in myself and my abilities. So, like, I think I had one client, and we just kind of, like, we never had an official contract, and we just kind of petered out. It wasn't like anything, whatever, but it wasn't a good time for me. I didn't have the self-discipline, because you definitely have to have self-discipline to be a freelancer. You have to track your own deadlines. Like, you are your boss. You manage your time, which is kind of the up and downside of freelancing.
Amen. Amen. Your kid gets sick or something and you just, like, lose all of your work time. I mean, there's this whole other side of working from home that I don't think people understand at all. And they need to before they jump in, right? Because it's not, like, easy. We're not working from Bali with our big brim influencer hat and our bathing suit making, like, gobs of money.
And, you know, you think about, okay, I want to take off for a week. Okay, that means that I need to have a week's worth of content for X number of clients. And oh my goodness, I have to fit in like 2.5 weeks of work in 4 days, because really, you know, as moms, like, we need a day to, like, do all the things. Like, I hate leaving with a dirty house. So I spend a day cleaning the house, packing things for the cat, and packing my son, packing myself, making sure that, you know, I don't come home to a disaster.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is another downside of freelancing. And I mean, okay, let's just be real. My husband and his job, like, we never just took vacation. He was always working really night and late the night before in order to take off. But in freelancing, when you are getting paid for your output, or even if it's, like, time-based billable hours, you can't just get up and walk away. But I think that's the beauty of owning an agency, is you do make it scalable and able to run it like clockwork without you being in the business all the time. But, like, it takes time to get there. Downsides: if you don't work, you don't get paid as a freelancer.
Yes. And I know you talked a lot about the retainer model for virtual assistants, for freelancers. I exclusively work on a retainer model. I used to do hourly work, and I think last fall I let go of my last hourly client, because I was just like, this isn't, like, I have no more hours left to give, and you're not really compensating me at what I should be compensated.
Yeah. It becomes not worth it, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, because I was having a conversation with one of my content creators yesterday, who I actually found through your group, who is amazing, and I love her. I just love the amazing women that I've built my team with. But we were talking about, you know, how do you determine when a client isn't really worth it anymore? Because especially when you're starting out, like you don't necessarily, like my first retainer client paid me like $500 a month. Looking back, I'm like, that is so low. Like price yourself, like people need to know what they're worth. What you offer like is worth more money than you give yourself credit for.
Especially when you're building someone else's business and their ability to be financially well off, when you're building the assets that make them more money, you're embarrassed by $500. Do you know what my first retainer was?
Ooh, tell me.
$75. Not know what I was doing. It's 2007 or eight. You know, I was like, sure, I'll do this. And like literally had nobody to model off of. And it was just like an extra little side thing. Like it wasn't going to be anything. And so I was like, oh, yeah. And that's kind of why I'm in this position, because there are so many people, and I know they're going to listen to this podcast, that don't realize what an asset they are. They find themselves in these jobs and they're like, what am I? Who am I? What do I call myself? I mean, accidental freelancers, right? Oh my gosh. So don't scoff at your 500. There are people who are listening who want to get to that. And we talk about that a lot in the EDMA school and the work group, is setting that minimal number you're willing to show up and turn your brain on that makes it worth it to you. Okay, I have so many questions, but what does your agency offer now in terms of services? How has that number changed from 500?
I have gotten so much clarity. When I first started, I was like, I can do all the things. I built websites. I built like Squarespace websites for friends. Realized I don't like building websites. I really hate building websites. I do not like them. I'm not a designer. I just, no. So I did that. I did HubSpot consulting. I did, a friend of mine asked me for a logo, which I ended up outsourcing to Fiverr because, again, I'm not a graphic designer.
Yeah.
So I literally did all of the things. And I was probably charging about like $30 to $40 an hour. And I would price myself, okay, it's going to take me this many hours plus like 30%. Like that's how I always tell people, like price yourself based on the number of hours. Because I get a lot of people who ask me like, what should I charge? And I'm like, price how many hours you want to spend and then add 30%, because that's taxes. So I've honed in on, I just offer social media management. I do social media strategies. So like strategy sessions, you can hire me for an hour and a half and we can bang out your social media strategy. We can just talk through whatever you're challenged with. I just had a great call yesterday with a friend of mine in a masterclass that I'm in. She was like, I don't even know where to start. And I was like, all right, well, so we kind of talked through what a strategy call looks like. It looks like, you know, going through your value, going through your audience, going through some market analysis, talking about your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities. And then I just started offering VIP days, which I think is something that you've talked about, because I've definitely heard it from you and someone else recommended, like, offer VIP days. Some people just want help creating reels. They don't know how to create them. So I just started offering those this year. That's really what I do. I also do email marketing because I feel like email and social go very well together. Email newsletters are a heavy lift. I also stopped offering blogging. I had a client last year that I did blogging for.
Why did you stop?
It was too time consuming.
Yeah, it is.
It's a heavy lift to do blogging. Like if I was just going to offer blogging, I would just offer blogging.
No, you said that. I actually have a tab open of a blog I've been working on for about 7 days. And I keep like going away because I get other, you know, buyers, other things happening. I've had a kid sick, like all of the things. And I think anyone listening, like whenever someone doesn't have time for it, that's actually a great place for you to start, right?
Yeah.
Like I keep blogging and email. It's something that needs to be happening on the background. You can usually do it without your client. You kind of need more of their input when you're starting.
Yes, for sure. So yeah, I focus strictly on social media and email. And I love the strategy aspect because, you know, like it really lets you dive in and be not only creative, but also like a little analytical and look at what's working and what's not working. I mean, but social media is not for the faint of heart. Like it's not just like post it and ghost it.
Can I pick your brain on a question about that now?
Yeah.
Sometimes when we have our work group members on the show, they'll end up getting clients just from our podcast. So let's show off your knowledge here. What do you see working well on social right now? And what's not working?
What's not working is no engagement. And that's actually something that I'm building my team around, because I found, you know, for the past few years, I've just been like, okay, we just post for you. And I encourage all my clients to kind of do the engagement. You know, like if you want to work with an agency that does strategy and engagement, like you're looking at spending upwards of like between $1,500 to $3,000 because engagement is super time consuming. So I've definitely added engagement or in the process of adding engagement. I actually need to hire someone to do engagement for my clients because that's not something that I'm super adept at, but I know it's needed. Video is working super well. Like there's a huge opportunity to just do video editing. Like if you're into social media, but like you don't understand the strategy, you don't understand the, you're not super creative. I'm not a graphic designer. How do I create this stuff? Like videos. And I've been telling all my clients, like, you don't need to overthink your video. Like really, like we're talking like 15 second videos. Like this morning I recorded a reel because I was like, all right, I'm going to walk into this board meeting and I'm just going to hold my phone up like silly. No one was around. Took my phone out, like, okay, I'm just going to drink coffee and I'll use this later. Like, reels are as simple as that. And that's what I see is working. And also, like, ads. I've done ads for clients before. I don't love ads. It's not an area where I'm super confident. I've been competent, but I'm not confident. So I know there are people that just specialize in, like, optimizing Facebook ads. So having an ad budget. Last week, like, I was like, you know what? I've never played around with Instagram advertising. And I tend to experiment on my own marketing before I implement it for clients so that I know what works and what doesn't work. But I was like, you know, I have these clients who like they're really struggling with growth on Instagram, which is just hard for everyone right now. Everyone's having a hard time growing on Instagram. Instagram is becoming the same dumpster fire that Facebook is. But I put $35 into a reel that was performing really well and I got like 20 new followers. I was like, hey, this is pretty good. Like if you're just looking to grow your following, like don't hesitate to just boost a post. So yeah, those are the things that I'm really focusing on is engagement, ads, and video.
Okay, I love that. Thank you for that. And it's so funny because over in the work group, we have some people who just don't want to do social because of the reasons you're talking about. It is hard and it is time consuming. It is strategy. It can feel like, you know, posting in a black hole if you're not doing it right. So I think that's so cool that you've carved out your niche over here, but you've also made room to move laterally up, do the ads, like specialize in Instagram only ads or whatever that looks like. And I think that's the beautiful thing about having an agency is like you can be really known for one channel or one thing. Or I mean, I know mm-hmm. people who have just do short form video and like that's their thing. Not even technically social media in the name. So yeah, I think that's so cool. What would you say is like the biggest benefit of having an agency right now? Also like knowing it took you 4 years to get here, right? Like, did I get the timeline right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How is an agency paying off for you now?
It allows you to scale. I couldn't manage the number of clients that I have. So I also work with another agency where I manage all of her social media strategies and I oversee her content teams. I don't actually create content. Scaling to an agency allows you to add revenue streams. Like I couldn't do VIP days or strategy sessions if I was still doing like 100 posts a week for all of my clients, you know, like that is a lot of work. It has really allowed me to scale my income. And, you know, as you think about that, like you have to be willing. And I've always been so nervous about spending money on my business. Investing in outsourcing work, it's an investment. But in busy seasons, I still tend to work late. Like the past few weeks have just been busy with like events and I haven't been in the office very much. But I know that 90% of my clients will have content ready for the next week on Friday when I go to review it. There are still a couple of clients that are some of my smaller clients that I still do content for.
Okay.
Scaling to a team has just given me that freedom. You know, we talk about kind of like you mentioned a few minutes ago, like having the ability as a freelancer to take vacation, to go away. I have a trip planned at the end of the next month and I'm like, I'm really going to turn off. Like I'm not at the point where I'm like not comfortable not bringing my laptop, but I have been able to take trips in the past year since I first hired my first content creator where like I don't open my laptop.
But it's there just in case.
It's there just in case. Like I check my email and I check in and I make sure that everything's scheduled and you know if there's an issue. But also like working with the right people, like having clients who respect, like, okay, you're taking time off. Like, that's great. I'm not going to bug you. As long as things are scheduled and going out, like, we're good. I pride myself in the relationships that I build with my clients. People always ask, like, how do you get clients? All of my clients have come from word of mouth. They are people who know me. They are people who know someone else that I know. Like, none of my clients have come from social media.
That was going to be one of my questions I have listed over here to ask you, because you talked about that first LinkedIn post that you did. I was going to say, how do you really find your clients? Because I know you're very active in your community as well. And so are they coming locally? And I think that's so funny because we put pressure on ourselves to show up on social, especially as brand new service providers. And I say all the time, especially when I'm in a pre-launch, you don't need social media to find clients. So I think that's so funny. Explain this phenomenon to anyone who's listening that. People get so stuck and hiding. This holds people back from never doing the thing because they have this fear of, will someone actually pay me? And will I be able to sell myself? And will I be able to find clients? And I keep saying it just takes one good client.
Yes.
It'll skyrocket. Everything will fall in place. That domino will knock over the another one.
Here's a story. So my first client was a defense contractor. And they eventually, this is my first retainer client. I'm still working with them to this day. About a month and a half after I started working with them, they were acquired by another company. They had a sister company, and the two were still kind of operating separately. The sister company became my second retainer client. And then, so months later, you know, I have all the clients. I get a lot of clients from this one local Facebook group. One of the recruiters at my original client left that company, like just like end of 2022, he left. And summer of 2023, the new company that he works for, he brought over to me. He's like, you need to manage our social media. And then, so the recruiter from like sister company, she recommended me to someone that she knew in the same industry. This is all like government contracting. One of her friends that she knew who was like a subcontractor for them has a small company and they became a client. And I actually did a strategy for them to start. And then the owner, who is one of my favorite clients, she's one of my smaller clients, but I love her. I did a strategy for her. And then a month later, she's like, I can't do this. Can I just hire you? That's like how so many of my clients have come to me. Like, it's usually someone who knows me. You know, I'm on the board of my local business association and I've done a couple of workshops. And I think it was the second workshop that I just did a couple of weeks ago that I actually got a couple of leads from. I've gotten leads from my business association before, but a lot of times those small businesses don't want to pay. Here's a word of advice. If people don't want to pay your prices, they are not your ideal client. Don't negotiate your rates for anyone. It's just not worth it. They're not your ideal client. I tell all my clients that I'm like, people who don't want to pay your rates or people who balk at, because I work with a lot of coaches, people who don't want to pay what you're asking, they're not your client.
Yeah. There's a perfect price for everybody. So they're just not in that circle.
There is enough clients to go around. You know, it's like that abundant mindset. If they don't want to pay for you, like there's someone who will.
Always, always. So and who is your favorite client though? I mean, do you like working with these contractors, the defense contractors?
It's a fun industry. And you know, there's always going to be people looking for jobs. A lot of what they do is recruit. Cleared software engineers are in high demand. So there's a lot of competition in that industry. So it's really like, how do you set yourself apart? And each brand, like they all know that I work with other companies in their industry, but they're all a little bit different in what they do and like the technology that they work on. They can't really talk about what they do because it's all top secret. So it's an interesting industry, but I have lots of friends who work in that space. So like I can kind of pick their brains. Having people that I know who are the ideal audience of my clients is a lot of fun. Like
better than ChatGPT. Okay, so I just have to touch base on something and hit it home here. I think it's interesting because you have a different set of clients over here with the defense contractors, and they're not doing the same thing our online coaches are doing, right? Like we're forcing people to a webinar and trying to get them on our email list. What you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you want to like elaborate on this, is they're really trying to brand position themselves to be a company that other people want to work for. So like their social media strategy, it's not the same thing. It's not posting cheesy reels and saying, DM me webinar, you know? And so is it easier? Do you like it? I mean,
it's not easier. It's not easier. some of the content isn't my favorite because there's only so many ways that you can say hiring for a cleared software engineer. You know, like there's only so many ways that you can say the same thing, especially when that's a key pillar of the strategy, which is why like now I have my team. And so it allows us to be a little bit more creative, but it's definitely different because the other half of my clients are mostly like woman owned service providers.
Okay.
It's very, very different, but the government contracts, like they're not going to go away. They're always going to have business. My husband's like, money. Don't let go of any of them. They're the money makers.
Yeah. I mean, what you're describing is a lot what we're talking about. I mean, even today on the Workgroup Happy Hour, we're talking about, you know, going after more of the corporate clients over on LinkedIn because they are the ones who have the budget. They are the ones who will give you more autonomy, that will trust you, that will see you as an expert, that will not be in your business. And I think that that is, was like good to hear. I don't know. It's just like fun. It's refreshing to hear. I know that sometimes this online bubble gets a little bit tiresome, but I also thrive with variety and I like the challenge of variety. And if I just had like all the same type of clients, like at one point, I don't know if you knew this, but I had a Pinterest agency. So I was doing what you were doing, but I had a ton of Pinterest clients. They were all in the DIY, you know, design, blogger, furniture space. And then after a while, I'm like, oh my God, it's just like all, I was really good at it. I'm really good with SEO and graphics and but it's like, it's all becoming like the same content. And I just kind of get a little tired of it. I mean, I still have one of those clients right now, but I just get a little tired of it.
You don't need to spend $2,000 on another course. You don't have $30,000 to spend on a mastermind. So where do you go if you are in the messy middle of owning and running and operating a service-based business? You come to the Digital Marketers Workgroup. This is an exclusive membership that provides the training and the support and the job opportunities to get to the freelancer holy land, where you're working with dreamy clients, commanding premium rates, but you're not sacrificing your schedule and your time. You still have time with your loved ones. The Digital Marketers Workgroup can help you get there, especially if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're jockeying way too many clients and you need help really niching down and positioning yourself as the go-to expert. Get your applications in now for the workgroup because we are opening again at the end of March, beginning of April. When you join now, you'll get access to our brand positioning workshop and the Work With Me page writing workshop, both happening in April. We have amazing guest speakers coming throughout the summer. This is your time to really hone in on your business, prioritize your work instead of always bending over backward for your clients. The link to apply is below. We want your business set up. We want you confident in your client work, able to take on clients. Apply now and we'll be in touch. Back to the show.
It's kind of like that conversation that a lot of people, a lot of coaches and like freelance coaches have, like, should you have a niche? I don't really think I do. Maybe I do with the small business woman-owned service provider. Maybe that's my niche. I don't know. I don't consider myself to be super niche. I'll work with anyone who pays my prices. You want someone who really values your work. Like, I will not work with someone who does not value social media. Like, if you don't think that social media is worth it to your business, and you're going to balk and you're going to be super picky. And like, that's not what I'm looking for. There is the ideal audience that, you know, you as a freelancer should have. And that has been refined for me over the years. Like, it's a business owner who values social media. They are strapped for time. They don't want to do social media, but they understand the value of it for their business.
How do you attract this person? Because you're really talking to the pain point of a lot of people in the workgroup, mm-hmm. right? And you know it, you're deep in there. That how do you attract that right person? Because I know in the beginning, like you said, we're just kind of desperate for clients. Desperate isn't even the right word. We're just so green and novice. Like, we don't even know any better that we start to get this clarity. Okay, so now we know we want the person who truly wants to save time. How do we attract them? How do we vet them? Like, how do you know?
You just have to kind of put yourself out there. You know, I found Facebook groups that have a lot of my ideal client, and being active in those Facebook groups is really what has helped me grow. It's not just about, you know, I'm active on social media because that's how people, hey, you're a social media manager, but you're not on social media. Like, how would that look? You know, so like if you're doubting whether or not you should be on social media and you're trying to sell social media services, like you need to be on social media. You need to show your face. You need to show that you're an expert in what you do because you got to do it for yourself. Like you are your first client. I've gotten questions from people who are just starting out and it's like, I put myself out there. I go networking. You have to be active in your community. Like it all starts at home. I took a course with Alma Bradford. I don't know if she still offers it, but it was Launch Your Online Agency. And the biggest thing that she said was, you know, you have to go out and network. You have to be in front of people, whether that's online networking on a site like Alignable with other business owners, or whether that's like getting involved in your local chamber. Like that's how I've built my business. So much of it is relationships. It's not just about, I'm going to attract my next $3,000 retainer through an Instagram post. I don't ever expect that to happen.
They're not hanging out there. They're not. That person is too busy for that. You know, it's funny. I started playing open gym volleyball and I'm just starting to meet business owners through that Sunday night. Like met a web design owner and I'm like, oh, this is a perfect person to network because I can help do SEO or build that quiz funnel. And it's just in these funny little moments too, when it's not even intentional, like there's opportunities, but you have to be able to talk about what you do and be confident and have that set up to be able to take on the client too. Some people are like letting that stop them. Okay. How many clients do you have right now? And then I'm also really curious about what your content creators are doing for you and like what that approval process looks like?
16, including the agency that I work with. So I have 16 clients. And, you know, I keep saying like, I don't really want any more retainer clients. Like I'm good on retainer clients. I want more like VIP day clients or more strategy clients that don't take a heavy lift because, you know, every new retainer client that I bring on, that's not all profit because I have my content creators. My content creators, you know, for a while, I didn't have them in on my client meetings. And then I realized, no, they really need to be. So they sit in on client meetings so that they understand client tone, client voice, client brand. They create the content in Loomly and I review it. I review every post that goes out for all of my clients and then the client approves it. So yeah, there has been systems I have struggled to put in place to make things streamlined. It's a little bit of growing pains. I feel like every agency has them. But having those systems in place are so important as you grow, like project management tools, content calendar system, like what's your approval process? What's your onboarding process? Because up until recently, I didn't even have an onboarding process. I was just like, hey, come work with me. And it's gotten refined. But when you're in the thick of it and you're like, oh my God, I can't handle more of this work, but I really want this client, you hire quickly. And I've hired most of my content, have my content creators I hired through Upwork. Two most recent ones that I've hired, I actually hired from the work group because I know that they're well-trained. I know that they are qualified. If work group members grow, like use that as a resource because it certainly helped me. So yeah.
What I hear is that you are just not afraid to jump in and just do it and not let perfectionism stop you or fear of judgment stop you? Like, have you always been that type of person to, I mean, you just admitted your onboarding process wasn't perfect and you have 16 clients in your agency. And I just think that's so refreshing to hear that it doesn't have to be all like perfectly buttoned up. But also, is that just your nature?
No, I'm definitely a perfectionist and I definitely overthink and I will overanalyze and I definitely get imposter syndrome and anxiety about, oh my God, am I doing this right? Oh my God, my client's going to fire me. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. A lot of that keeps me up at night, but it's been growth. And I had this goal. I wanted to make six figures because when I got laid off in 2020, I was making $56,000 a year at 37 years old with 15 years of marketing experience, which is grossly underpaid for the marketing industry. Like, let's be honest. There's lots of conversations, especially there's a Facebook group called Women in Marketing, which is a great resource.
Yeah.
They talk about salary transparency. And I realized like I'm grossly underpaid. And so it took me about a year to meet that salary, like gross revenue. And then within, you know, three and a half years, I hit six figures. And as a 40-year-old woman, like that was my goal. I was like, I want six figures.
Yeah. It's funny how those numbers just keep us motivated, you know?
This year, should I stay on track with where I am? I'm on track to, with gross revenue, surpass my husband's salary.
Awesome.
Which is kind of amazing.
You know, I'm badass.
People don't talk about, like, money is an okay motivator. Like, having security, like, my mother probably made, like, the equivalent of $15 an hour when I was in high school working in a factory. Like, I have so much respect. You know, my mother worked a second job when I was in college so that she could help contribute to my books. Like, I didn't want that kind of financial insecurity. Like, I went to college. I was the first grandchild on my father's side of the family to go to college. Like, I want success. And this is me working my butt off to make six figures so that I can, God damn it, buy the Lululemon leggings when I want to, not just when they're on sale.
The Lululemon fund. We sometimes, my friend Brenna and I joke about the Botox fund, like, because she started her VA business. Now she's a pre-launch strategist, but it was all to pay for Botox.
I feel like a lot of freelancers are afraid to say, like, money is a motivator. Like, I want to have that financial freedom. And it's okay to say that. And it's okay. I've raised my prices because I've also realized over time, like, okay, you know, if I have a content creator that I'm paying X hundred of dollars per month to work on X number of clients, like, okay, what do I need to make to make sure that after taxes and expenses, like, I am still profitable?
Yeah, because you have to work backwards from those numbers to figure it out. You can't start an agency and not know how long things take and the cost to produce, right? Cost of goods sold and all of that. So good for you.
I should have a spreadsheet with all that information, but I don't.
If you take a peek in the workgroup, we had Rachel Mazza in there and she shared her spreadsheet that she did. Like, you just get a, like, glimpse of it. It's very insightful. I feel like if I even just screenshot it for you, it's kind of neat to know, because she was... You don't do blogging, but she was doing more content and blogging. This was also back in the day, and she kind of had to just figure that out the hard way. And, like, what are the numbers? And I think that's the scariest thing about bringing in a contractor. Our clients go through this with us too. When you are billing by the hour, you're like, what am I opening myself up to? Like, there has to be a cap. Like, we can't just give someone free rein to endlessly work on something, right? So I think that's probably the thing I sucked at when I had my agency as well. It was like, oh yeah. Also, the people check-ins, it was really tough on me to do that and manage client work. But if I could go backward in time, I would pull myself out of the client work and be doing more of the strategy, which you are doing, it seems like, very well. And like you said, that's like your profit sweet spot. Like, that's motivating because you make more money when you do that.
And, you know, like, I have a goal, hopefully within the next year, to possibly hire someone more closer to full time to be kind of an account manager. I have a vision, and, you know, I'm working through that with my business coach. Everyone should have a business coach. Like, what does that look like for me? Because I pride myself so much on the relationships that I have with my client, I will never fully be out of the client work.
Yeah, same.
Because I'm a perfectionist, and I have 4 years of information about my clients in my brain space that I have not yet adequately transferred to my content creators.
Well, and that's what they're paying you for. They want the Heidi Schmidt stamp, right? They want that creative brain on them. And even if it's, like, in these high touches, but, like, very impactful, I think that's amazing. A hard question, though. You said gross was six. Like, what is your net? Like, what are you paying yourself? Have you passed that 56 in paying yourself, too? Because that's the thing people don't talk about, right? They're like, I've had this huge launch, but, like, you don't see. I talked to this business owner in Kajabi, who was multi-million and, like, not profiting because of the numbers, you know?
Yeah, I think the number that I saw on QuickBooks, and this is before taxes, after my expenses, before taxes, I think I profited about $80,000 last year. So that's not bad. Like, my accountant's like, you need to be an S Corp.
You're going to get there. Well, A, you're going to get there. Like, there's no question about that. But the fact that you blew past your last full-time job salary, to me, I just want to celebrate that with you. I can relate to that so much coming from the PR journalism world. My last full-time salary was, I've never been paid more than $40,000. Never. And it didn't help being a military spouse, always starting over. And then you really have to climb up from the bottom and prove yourself. And so I've watched my friends stay in the city, climb the corporate ladder, get the cush job, get six figures. And I'm just starting over and over and over again. So for me, it was a big deal when my net just has not hit six figures yet. But I have also switched how my business is,
right?
Course creation, everything. But I'm like so freaking close. So freaking close to being like net six figures, which I feel like I should have a party or something because that's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like when I hit my first $10,000 month, I was so excited because when you set those goals for yourself as a freelancer and you accomplish them, like it just kind of reinforces your purpose. Like, wow, people trust me to do what I'm passionate about. Like people value my experience. Like that is so, so rewarding when you have that kind of validation in what you do.
I remember you DMing me when you hit 10K months. I think I screenshotted that and put that in my testimonials folder. I was like, this is amazing. So what did you do to celebrate?
I mean, personally, I like to eat and have sushi. Sake.
It probably involved sushi and it probably involved me buying full price Lululemon. That is usually how I treat myself.
Are you wearing leggings right now?
I am not, but I am wearing Lululemon pants.
I don't think I've owned a pair of Lululemon. You're selling me on it.
So years ago, I worked there. In the Great Recession, like we had moved to Connecticut. I thought about grad school. I was in between jobs. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was probably like 26, 27 years old. So instead, I saw this. She was an employee at corporate in Vancouver, and she blogged about like different ways to wear the Wonder Under legging. And I loved her style. I was like, I want to work for this company. So I did. But it was there that I got to manage the social media at the store level, and I got to manage the email marketing. And that, along with my nonprofit communications work, like really helped cement my career in marketing.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And I love how you talked about the specific tech of like knowing HubSpot was actually your way in as well, that combined. So getting experience where you can. Okay, can you talk about some of your client wins that they're having on social media? Because we were just talking about how that feels to have an impact and have clients value us. Like let's brag on your clients for a sec. What are they seeing? What are they doing?
One of my government contracting clients, they are a 16-person company, and they literally started, I started working with them, I think in like 2021 or 2022? I don't even remember. But they're big on LinkedIn, and we've grown their following probably like 500%. Like they started with like 300 followers, and now they have close to 2,000, like between 1,500 and 2,000. And that is as many as like some of the 200 employee size businesses. That's one big client win. Another big client win, like a couple weeks ago, a client of mine told me that posts that we put out for her resulted in like an $8,000 coaching contract promoting like one of her services. So people say like, oh, don't be too salesy on social media. No, you don't have to be salesy. You don't have to be salesy, but you do want to talk about what you do. Those were probably my two favorite client wins. It's always fun. Like the same government contractor, we were talking. She's like, you know, sometimes it, like you help me pull back the big picture. I was like, when I started working with you, you had 6 employees. Now you have like close to 20. Like you have doubled the size of your business. And that is a big win. And some of those employees who have come to you have said like, oh, I checked you out on LinkedIn. I really like what you're doing. Like that's a validator. That's a big win. As someone in social media, like, sometimes you don't always see the validation of what you're doing. You know, it's easy to say like, oh, social media is driving, you know, 10% growth in traffic or whatever it is, but it's not always attributable to those big client wins. But when you pull back the veil and you're like, hey, we've been doing this for X number of years and oh, look at this growth. That's a huge win.
So do you sit down and have like an annual meeting with your clients or how do you show them that? How do you take credit for it?
At the end of each year, I try to like pull some of like the more impactful numbers. You know, I did a strategy session with one of my clients probably like a month or 2 months ago. And I was like, you guys saw like a 60% growth in your audience. Like they merged. It was the two sister companies and they went under the one umbrella company because the one umbrella company got acquired by a bigger contractor. So they're still operating like as this umbrella company, but they were like, we don't want to deal with these two other brands. We just want to envelope them in and just do this company. Since we started posting, it was like March of last year. So over the past year, we've seen a 60% growth in your audience. Like that's a lot of brand awareness for a company that didn't have that kind of brand awareness.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so cool. It's so fun to hear your wins. I hope you get clients from this episode too. I actually want to like switch directions just a little bit because you are a member of our digital marketers work group. And you've already said you've hired two unicorns from that group. Mm-hmm. Has it helped you in your journey at all? Or what kind of support do you get inside? And just can't help but plug it right now, because you already said, we don't do it alone. We need the network. We need the connections.
One, I love your happy hour calls because I love the connection. Like, having a community of other marketers, like, being a freelancer is lonely. It is a lonely, lonely place sometimes. So having other people to just chat with and share your wins and share your struggles has been so powerful for me. And I always get really sad when I can't make one of your calls because I'm like, man. Also, I just love the resources that you share. I don't always get to jump on the calls, but like, I'll be like, I need to go back and rewatch that one. Like, I think you just did one on like taxes, financial. Yeah. Like, that is on my list. I'm like, I need to go back and watch that. But like, the resources are so powerful because we get so in the trenches as freelancers and just servicing our clients. Like, you have to look at running your business and you have to look at some of the other things that you need to know. And I just think your trainings are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Those kind of trainings are so invaluable, whatever level of freelancer you are. Like, I am not an accountant. I do not know. I hire someone to do my taxes, but like, just kind of giving me insights. Other opportunities, you know, like understanding what else is going on in the freelance world. What are some other services? Not just for me. Like, I don't offer these, but if I know a client who's launching a course, hey, I can recommend you to this amazing group of other marketers who are super well trained and who know, and you might be able to find someone. Like, someone that I met at a networking group, you're not my ideal client. Like, she was absolutely lovely. I can't do what you want me to do. Like, I don't do that. I was like, but I know this group. And she ended up submitting a job post. I don't know if she hired anyone from the group, but like, I was like, go here. So it's also like just a great resource for clients. Like, if you don't do something,
yeah.
Like, there is a whole network of people who probably do what you don't do.
Just so good for upholding your boundaries, because we have this bleeding heart. We want to help. We don't want to turn people down. But when you can refer them to someone who will take care of them.
I mean, just yesterday, I was talking with one of my content creators that I found from your group. And I don't know if she found this person also through the group, but I was like, I need to hire someone who does engagement. I don't want to be scrolling through Instagram for, you know, 15 clients doing engagement for 10 minutes a day. Like, that is almost 3 hours of my time. And just no, I need to hire someone to do that, especially for the accounts that need to grow. But I feel like it's on my list now. And I'm like, maybe I can find someone through the group.
So I can already think of a couple people.
So it's also just a way to support other freelancers. Like, I love supporting other freelancers. Like, if there's something that I don't do, like, your group is my go-to.
Oh, I love that. We're all about collaboration, which is really fun. And I think you really nailed it too. I just saw in that same Facebook group you were talking about, Women in Marketing, someone asked this morning, how do you keep up with everything? How do you keep up with everything? And I always find that so helpful for me. And I wish I had had this group earlier or a group like it, just to keep my thumb on like what's changing, what's new, like what strategies are working, what tech is changing. Like, you know, the whole thing with Facebook groups, getting rid of these third-party apps, like that's going to destroy lots of framework in my own business. And like, thank God somebody posted about it, because I had missed it, because I'm doing the client work. I'm writing the email and setting up the tech, or I'm like doing laundry and helping a sick kid. Like, I'm not always like able to keep up on it myself as a single person.
Yep. Those are the things that I've loved most about being a work group member, is really just the community, the collaboration, being able to support other women freelancers who might be just starting out. Like, I would have loved that when I was first starting out. So,
yeah, I mean, I had a kindergartner that year. Our county was doing Zoom school, and it was Zoom Montessori school, and it was horrible. Like, I had to be so hands on with kindergarten. There was lots of crying. They kept doing origami. I'm like, why are we doing origami? She got really good at math because I didn't have the patience to write sentences because they took forever. Anyway, I'm just like flashing back to the pandemic. Heidi, I'm so proud of you, of seeing an opportunity, you know, using this to your advantage, using something like horrible going on in the world, using your agency and not wanting to be stuck there anymore and like your past employer, and just making a future for yourself. And like, you're killing it. You're killing it. And I'm so honored to have you in the work group too, sharing your insight, like hiring other people to come help you in your agency. And like, it's like such the vision I had for us freelancers, and like
uniting. Unicorns uniting, which is like the whole point.
Okay, yep. I have three final questions for you. I know we're going a little over, but I've been asking everyone these two questions, and then I have a bonus for you. One, what is your favorite intake question to vet a prospect before, or maybe right after, whatever your booking process is, before a sales call? What is a question that you like to ask?
What's your budget? On my contact form, I have a drop down because it helps me determine what services. I mean, if someone has a budget of $500, they're not going to be a retainer client for me. So adding that really helps me kind of like, okay, this is the conversation that I'm going to have with them. And then when I actually get on the discovery call, I want to know what their goals are. Like, what's your goal? Because I know, is that something that you can actually do on social media? Or is that something like maybe you need to just rethink your overall marketing goals?
I like that. And it helps you dial in that conversation in your head before you jump on a call with them, like to be able to steer them in the right direction. Okay. How are you using AI in your business right now, especially as a content creation agency?
You know, sometimes I'll use it for ideas. I use it more for my own content, like my blog, but I edit the crap out of it. I edit so much because you have to, like, the search engines are going to be smart enough to know when things are AI produced. Like, I have one content creator and I'm like, if I can tell that it's AI, like, that's a problem. And I've kind of had to like coach her on that. If I can tell that it's AI, like, I'm not going to send it to the client like that. I'm going to edit that. So using AI as like a time saver, but then making sure that you edit for client tone and voice. That's really how I've used AI.
Yeah. Have your clients said if they don't want you to use AI or given you any kind of insight to that yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Probably just don't care because they're awesome. They're like, do it.
A few of my clients, like, they create their own content that I'm like, we don't need to use AI for this. Like, you can repurpose this content. You can repurpose these sentences in this blog. You can repurpose this paragraph. Like, you don't need to always be creating things. Like, if there's a blog there, like, repurpose that. You don't need to use AI.
I love that. You're like the queen of that because you've been putting all this effort into producing content in the first place. Like, well, let's keep it easy, guys. Okay, before I ask you the last question, you have a freebie for us, your content planning guide.
I created it for a lot of businesses to just kind of give them a framework to think about their content. It comes with some best practices. It comes with some templates to kind of, you know, you can print them out just to kind of like jot ideas down. And it kind of gives you best practices, like how to repurpose your content, how to plan your content, how many days a week should you post, all that kind of fun stuff. So it's really just a guide to help you better plan your content. Because the one thing that so many of my clients struggle with when they come to me is just showing up consistently.
That's why they hire us marketing freelancers, right?
Yep.
To hit schedule, to keep them on track, to stay to the launch timeline that they dreamed about. Oh, I love that. Okay. The final question is, what's one piece of advice you'd give to a budding brand new freelancer who's just getting started?
Do it messy. Like, nothing has to be perfect when you're just starting out. You know, when you're learning to price yourself, like, that's not going to be your price forever. Fake it till you make it. Like, if you question yourself, like, people hire you because of your expertise, never doubt that. And show up messy. Like, be authentic. One of the things that I pride myself on my own social media is that I show the messy. I show the imperfect. You don't have to be perfect. That's what makes us relatable. That's what makes people want to work with you when you are imperfect. So show up messy.
I love it. I agree. The fast start, just do it. Don't overthink it. And then you can always go back and refine it. Okay, Heidi, where's the best place to connect with you? AKA, what's your favorite social media platform? And where can we keep the conversation going with you?
Instagram is probably the best place to find me. That's where I am most active. Obviously, I have my Facebook page, which is at Heidi Schmidt Creative. But really, Instagram at Heidi Schmidt Creative is really the best place where I've been most active lately.
Okay, awesome. We'll put all the links to the show notes below. You can go get her content planning guide and get started on your content ideas coming up for your business. A lot of our freelancers listening to this need to do that for themselves, at least like the bare minimum with social media. So grab that. Heidi can help you with that. All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you over on the work group.
Thank you.
Gold, 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 I tell you. Heidi definitely says a lot that I say, and we are on the same page that you are your first client.
right? That it only takes one client to grow your business. It's not a heavy start. You don't have to pay a lot. There's not a lot of overhead to having a service provider, independent contractor business in this digital marketing realm. And the other thing, it can only take one client to blow up your business. Concentrate on doing good work for the clients you have now. Spend your time wowing them, getting the experience, because one good client will lead to another one. And you no longer have to settle with being grossly underpaid. You can learn marketing services and start freelancing just like Heidi did. My self-study program to my marketing assistant training is open. It's called the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School. I'll put a link below. If you're ready to go, if Heidi is so inspiring to you and you want to nail down these marketing services and build your business, start it from scratch, this is the place to go. Then you can come join us in the work group where we'll continue learning and we'll have the job referrals and leads for you too. Okay, those links below. Get your applications in for the work group and I will see you in the next podcast episode.
If you want to start earning income as a digital marketing service provider or digital marketing assistant, you only need your laptop. You can tap into what online business owners really need help with by downloading my top 10 most requested tasks. These are the services I did for years for my clients behind the scenes. You can take this download and apply it to your own business and start by offering these very same services. If you want to niche down in digital marketing, this is your guide. Just use the link in the show notes or go to emilyreaganpr.com/services.
We're going to leave my broken drawer right there on the floor.
I used to have a client that I would meet with every 2 weeks and he would be like, did you really style your bookshelf like that? And I was like, and my books are grouped.
They're good. It looks very professional. Mine's like a rainbow. Try to do a rainbow.